why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Charavale Road is home to everything you need when it comes to shopping. Whether you need a quick bite, a new outfit, or just fancy buying a new book, Charavale Road has it all. Find out more at these selected local shops.
The Porter Bookshop offers a large selection of new and classic books with a great variety of subjects. We provide high quality books at reasonable prices and great customer service. Stop by for a browse or check us out online and on Facebook at The Porter Bookshop. The Porter Bookshop, where books are bought as well as sold.
Made by Jaunty is a fine dining gem in Sheffield on the Charavale Road foodie mile. Choose a dish from the blackboard or enjoy a Jaunty classic from the all-day breakfast menu. Pop in to enjoy restaurant quality food in a relaxed and friendly environment. High quality, locally sourced, good food. Find us on Charavale Road and on the Now Then discount app.
Suzu Ladies Fashion. We specialise in Log and Look European fashion. We cater for all sizes, stocking Sarah Santos, Nestlé, Bel Air Blue, NB, Dicelli and many more. Suzu Ladies Fashion. 0114 266 8427.
Charavale Road. The road that has it all.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday the 21st of August 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And this show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. In today's show, we'll be talking about collaboration in business and social enterprise. And we have interviews today with Laura Bennett of the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, with Sarah Hill of Opus Independence, Mester's Works and Peace in the Park, with Johnny Pollock of Mantra Media, with Emma Tinsley of Point 925 Jewellery, with Sammy Spark of Sammy Spark Photography, with Hugh Mann Adamson of LTBL Productions, Jessica Gull of Steel City MUA and Justin Roundtree of Silversmith's Restaurant. Before we turn to our guests, some business news. The majority of UK graduates are overqualified for their job, according to the CIPD. And they say that employers now demand a degree for traditionally non-graduate level roles. More than half, in fact, 58.8% of graduates in the UK hold a non-graduate job, according to the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, CIPD. Their report states that the number of people graduating from university now vastly outweighs the number of highly skilled jobs. They say the mismatch has resulted in some employers requiring a degree for positions which traditionally have been non-graduate roles. And they say that this shows that the practice is particularly prevalent in industries which historically relied on apprenticeships, such as construction and manufacturing. The report also concluded that the UK is particularly badly affected amongst on a worldwide level. So 10% or less of graduates in Germany, the Netherlands and Slovenia are in non-graduate roles, but 58.8% here in the UK. The international imbalance is partly, according to the report, due to the UK's relatively high graduation rate and lower levels of vocational training. The CIPD has also published a guide for parents to highlight different non-university options that might be available for their children. Reports have been released and you can find them on the CIPD website.
Now, according to new research from the Citizens Advice Bureau, as many as 460,000 people might be being defined as bogusly self-employed, meaning they're missing out on pay and benefits. Their study suggests that the problem has been created by a combination of unscrupulous employers who are forcing individuals onto inappropriate self-employed contracts and, of course, conflicting definitions of what employee actually means. In a survey of people who said they're working for themselves, the CAB found that 1 in 10 could actually be wrongly self-employed and, as a result, missing out on holiday pay and spending more on national insurance than they would if they were classified as an employee. According to the Office of National Statistics, up to 4.5 million people are now working in self-employment. So if the CAB findings of 1 in 10 people wrongly self-employed were scaled up to represent the whole of the working population, then the CAB suggests that bogus self-employment could be costing the government £314 million a year in lost tax, and of course costing individuals a fortune in missing out on holiday pay. Federation of Small Businesses, the FSB, has urged GCSE students to consider their next steps. Young people got their GCSE results yesterday, and the FSB has urged schools to provide students with a broader understanding of all the options available as students look to plan their careers. Now, if you're interested in this topic, then it's worth having a listen to the podcast of last Friday's Business Live programme, when we interviewed a young student who's now working at Hazelwood's Mill. She got really good A-level results, but she had decided halfway through her A-levels she wasn't going to go on to university and that for her career it would be best to talk to as many people as possible and then try and go straight into the career she wanted. So we interviewed Susie Pearce of Hazelwood's Mill in last Friday's show. You can still get the podcast on the Sheffield Live website. The Sheffield Retail Development Group has announced a new plan for Sheffield City Centre. Having done 3 years' worth of development and consultations, their concept has been developed in partnership with Chapman Taylor, a master planner and retail architect. And their concept is designed, they say, to ensure that the city centre underpins economic growth, meets the needs of its citizens and visitors alike in a modern and changing world of retail and leisure. The plan is scheduled to be delivered by 2018. It aims to transform the economy of Sheffield. It includes a vibrant mixed scheme providing for retail, leisure, business, office and residential needs, and it includes the retention of every listed and iconic building that gives Sheffield its unique character. A couple of events coming up. Tickets are on sale now for the MADE Entrepreneurship Festival. You can get those at madefestival.com. They're selling those tickets for £50, but concessions are £15. And you can also go along to an event next week and meet entrepreneur Dan Brookman, who'll be talking about his business journey and giving insider tips on digital marketing when the Wasco Brown Foundation throws open the doors for its next inspirational speaker session. The talk will be on Thursday, August the 27th, next week. Dan Brookman was just 23 when he went into business. He plunged in at the deep end, quite literally, when he bought the Victorian Baths at Hillsborough, turned it into a live music club at the deep end. Within 7 years of that, he had 7 different companies, but he'd experienced so many highs and lows, he was suffering burnout. And he regained success by focusing on just one of his businesses, a digital marketing company. You'll be able to hear from Dan talking about his business journey if you go along to his talk next Thursday, 27th of August, Wasco Brown Foundation. Places are available at £10 per head, and the places are being used to fund future work of the foundation. Find out more at wbf-0815.eventbrite.co.uk. And the Manufacturing Forum is staging a meeting at 4:30pm on Wednesday the 9th of September at Sheffield Hallam University, focusing on innovation, use of robotics, new technologies, research and design, future trends and the use of graduate placements. If you want to go along to that, it's for manufacturers and there'll be an opportunity to network and exchange ideas. Go to themanufacturingforum.org.uk/contact-us. So, as ever, I'd welcome your views on what's going on in business and social enterprise here in Sheffield
and in the UK. You can get in touch by email, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter, @SheffieldLive. Find me, @JamieVeach, on Twitter too. Whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed, we're keen to hear from you. So turning now to our first interviews. Last night, I went along to the relaunch of the revamped Sheffield Social Enterprise Network to find out more. So we're going to play an interview now, first of all, with Laura Bennett.
Laura, good evening. Thanks for joining me to talk about the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. Not really a relaunch, more a reinvigoration.
Exactly.
And what a reinvigoration. How many people came along?
I think between 50 and 60 people, so we're very pleased with the turnout.
Certainly it was buzzing, and then you probably couldn't have held any more people.
I don't think so, no. We've had it at the lovely Fusion Cafe, itself a social enterprise.
Delicious food, yeah. Really, really nice atmosphere tonight. Everyone very, very interested in the network. And you've told people who came along about the network and its four pillars, but perhaps you can tell listeners, what are the four pillars of the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're really led by our members. And our four pillars are around making connections. That's the first one. So we're currently doing that by supporting the Social Enterprise Social, which is a well-established social event for people working in the social enterprise sector in Sheffield. But really, we're looking to arrange events to bring people together, like this evening, in the room, have some great, good quality conversations. A second pillar is becoming better informed. So we want to be a central point of contact for social enterprises in Sheffield. At the moment, we're doing that through our monthly newsletter. We've also got a LinkedIn group, if you search for Sheffield Social Enterprise Network on LinkedIn. Really sort of kind of get the best of all of the wealth of knowledge in people's heads working in social enterprise in Sheffield. The third pillar is around sharing experiences. So everyone working in this sector faces similar challenges, has similar successes. We want to bring everyone together to share those experiences and learn from each other. And then the fourth pillar is about having a stronger voice. So by coming together across Sheffield, working in social enterprise, we can really present a united voice to the City Council, to the government, to the LEPs, etc.
So that collaborative approach in terms of strength fits the programme today's radio programme as well, which is all about business collaboration in action as well. And the other three pillars collectively are really going to strengthen the sector, strengthen social enterprise. So what's next then? How can listeners who've heard about the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, couldn't perhaps make it along to the event, but how can they get involved in the network?
Well, the first point of call is our brand new website. So that's www.sen, which is SSEN.org.uk. If you go on there, you'll be able to sign up to our newsletter and join as a member. We've got a short membership form to get information about what you're up to in social enterprise in Sheffield, what you can offer the network, what you're hoping to gain from the network. We'll also be putting on events. Our next event is the 29th of October. The format of these events is going to be about bringing people together for networking, but also around sharing experiences, having some educational workshops, making them really useful for the members.
That's great. So get involved, go to the website, sign up. Do you want to give the website address out again, Laura?
Yeah, that's www.ssen.org.uk. And we're also on Twitter as ChefSen, ShefFESN, S-E-N.
Superb. Laura Bennett talking about Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veach. That was Laura Bennett speaking with me at the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network event last night. After speaking with Laura, I caught up with Sarah Hill. Let's hear from Sarah now. Sarah, hi, good evening. Welcome back onto Sheffield Live. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, hi, thank you.
So we're at the SSEN launch. What do you think of the state of social enterprise in Sheffield at the moment?
I think it's one of the most vibrant sectors that the city's got, to be honest. I've never been to a city where there are so many different social enterprises and so many people really interested in the concept of social enterprises and kind of taking that forward as a group as well and working very collaboratively rather than competitively. I think it's in a brilliant state, although we always need more funding.
Yep, this is true. So collaboration being something you've mentioned, one of the pillars of the network that Laura's mentioned as well. Sheffield's good at that.
Yeah, Sheffield's great at that. The only place that Sheffield falls down doing that, I think, is little pockets of people across the city working really collaboratively together with no idea what people on the other side of the city are doing, which is why I think the network has got so much potential, really, because it covers the whole city. And then you can look up outside of the kind of small group of people that you work with and realise that your small group of people can work with all these other small groups of people that are around the city. And together we're a big group of people who are all trying to make a positive difference in the city. So hopefully coming together, that difference will multiply.
Yeah, real multiplier effect going on. And cross-city, as you say, really important. And you're involved in numerous social enterprises. You're currently the director of 4 social enterprises. Do you want to just run us through those?
Well, the first one is Opus Independence Limited. We're an arts-based social enterprise. We publish Now Then magazine. We run a distribution service. We do live literature events and a lot of bespoke kind of digital projects. We work with people like DocFest and Off the Shelf Festival. Mester's Works is a space in Neep's End, which used to be a spring factory. It used to be the office block of a spring factory, and we've repurposed it. We're letting it out at lowest possible cost to support other social enterprises and artists and creative space in the city. Mester's Events is an events company, funnily enough, you can tell, and we work at a number of festivals around the city, and we're working on several kind of community-based festivals for next year, so watch this space. There'll be some more announcements then. And Peace in the Park, which hopefully is a name that everyone knows, is also a social enterprise, which a lot of people might not know. And we will be back on the 11th of June 2016 for our usual fun and games on the Ponderosa.
Fun and games indeed. And so in your experience, what are the biggest challenges social enterprises face? And can the new network, the SSEN network, well, not new, but we've heard about re-energised network. Can network support you and can support social enterprises like yours in overcoming challenges?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the network can support us. I think, you know, the major problem facing pretty much any enterprise is capacity and funding, two things that are intrinsically linked, obviously. I think there's a challenge in getting large organisations and statutory organisations to recognise the potential of social enterprises and the extra things that social enterprises bring to the table in terms of tenders with the City Council and the NHS and that kind of thing. I think encouraging people to really value that social impact is a big challenge, and I think that having a network that brings all of that information together will hopefully help us put that case forward much more strongly.
That's great. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Sarah Hill talking with me at the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network event last night. Sarah is a director of social enterprises Opus Independence, Mester's Works, Mester's Events and Peace in the Park. Now, you've heard today from both Sarah and Laura Bennett about collaboration, and collaboration is the theme of today's programme. Last week, I caught up with a number of businesses who've recently got together to collaborate to benefit all of them. So we're going to hear from Johnny Pollock of Mantra Media, Emma Tinsley of Point 925 Jewellery, Sammy Spark of Sammy Spark's Photography, Hugh Mann Adamson of LTBL Productions, and Jessica Gull in an interview recorded last Friday that we'll play now.
So, collaboration in business. Well, partnership has been described as a suppression of mutual loathing in the pursuit of funding or revenue. Now, that's perhaps a cynical view, isn't it? And I wanted to go and find out more about a really innovative example of collaboration that took place recently in Sheffield. It was put together by Johnny Pollock. Johnny's been on the show in the past. At the time, I think we accused him of being a massive show-off, and yet he's come back again. I don't know why. Johnny, thanks for coming back in today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I should explain, we accuse you of being a show-off only because of your acting skills and experiences and actually doing what a lot of people are terrified of doing, which is just getting out there and getting on with life, getting on with business. It's worked for you.
Yeah, very much so. I think if you want to achieve anything, you just have to get out there, you have to believe in yourself and just work hard.
And so you've recently collaborated and helped a number of your clients work together to put together a really great promotional video for Point 925 Jewellery. Tell me about how this came about.
So me and Emma, Point 925, were thinking about different ways that we could promote a new jewellery range. And at the same time, I was working with Hugh at Let There Be Light Productions and Justin at Silversmith's Restaurant and also Sammy Spark at Sammy Spark Photography. And I thought, well, actually, maybe we could do something together and create something of value for everybody. Hugh's a really accomplished videographer, and Sammy's photography is amazing. Silversmiths, as people know in Sheffield, is a beautiful venue, and Emma's jewellery is stunning. So it just seemed like a natural collaboration, and obviously it's Emma's jewellery is silver, handmade silver jewellery, which is, you know, incredible. Say it's, you know, Sheffield made as well. It goes back to that history. Silversmith's restaurant was a silversmithery, so it was where people made those type of things. So I thought this would be a perfect combination of skills and talents to come together and create something fantastic.
So really, really nice how things resonate and how they fit together there. You're talking about silver jewellery, silversmiths, and then Hugh of Let There Be Light Productions, you're based next door as well, worked with Johnny. Everyone came together and worked well on this. So let's turn first of all then to Emma. So Emma, 0.925 jewellery, you've ended up with a beautiful video here which showcases what you do and the fact that you're a Sheffield-based business. Now, if you hadn't collaborated, if you'd gone about sort of getting this made in a traditional way, it would have been a little bit different, the experience, I should think.
Well, yes, and I mean, a very expensive experience. I mean, this way we all, you know, brought our skills to the table and ended up with something so professional and polished. It really was brilliant. And everybody wanted to showcase the talent, so everybody, you know, gave 100%.
Yes, so lovely example when collaboration brings skills together, where everyone benefits from those skills.
Yes, definitely.
And bringing in Hugh, so Hugh, you filmed, you edited this, and you've ended up with, again, a beautiful shot. The experience for you, a positive one?
Collaboration is always positive, so that I always assess projects based on two things. The first is the person who's leading the project. If they've got the charisma, the drive, and the vision, it tends to make me want to be part of that. And the second thing is the concept itself. You know, if those two things, you know, are high up in, you know, in my regards, then, you know, it's something I'm definitely interested in doing. And I always give kids advice when they come up to me, oh, I want to be a filmmaker, I want to be a filmmaker. And I always tell them one simple thing, always watch the end of the film. And they're like, why? It's always just credits. And I was like, exactly. It takes that many people to work together to produce, you know, a good quality film.
That's a really good point, a really interesting point. I mean, when the credit's rolling for minutes and minutes and minutes, and you start counting the names, it's astonishing.
Yeah, it does. It takes a lot of people. And I'm a big believer in bringing on and working with people who are the best in their field. There's no point in me trying to be the best at everything. I might as well bring people in who are great at makeup, who do great jewellery, who, you know, are great leaders, who do stunning photography. Bringing together as a collaboration, you produce an overall an amazing, you know, project.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because regular listeners of the show will know that back on the 31st of July, we did a segment on leadership for business and social enterprise and excellence in business and social enterprise. One of the people we interviewed back then on the 31st of July was Baroness Sue Campbell, and she led UK Sport from 2003 through to 2013. So she presided over the massive increase in medal haul for Team GB and Paralympic GB from not a lot to a huge amount in the 2012 Olympics. And of course, incremental gains, which we've heard about, but excellence. And also she talks a lot about social enterprises and businesses having values and really embedding those values and vision and integrity. And she clearly means it. And one thing that she mentioned as well is it's really important for leaders to surround themselves with people who are really, really talented. In other words, look at your own weaknesses and recruit people who are better than you at things you can't do, which sadly a lot of people, they don't want to recruit people better than them, they're scared. But that's a great point, Hugh. So let's move on then. Sammy, you're involved as well, photographer based here in Sheffield and Cambridge. So again, how was this process, how was this experience for you?
It was actually a fab experience for me because I got to be really creative, and in my work I do work with families, babies and children quite a lot, but from uni I have a real passion for the creative stuff, and I could really kind of get my teeth into this. And also working as a team is not something I tend to do. I work on my own. So that was another fantastic experience. And I've actually met Hugh from this, and I've met Jess from this. And I think me and Jess might talk a bit further about working together in the future as well, particularly.
Great. So that kind of teamwork, again, is going to lead to new opportunities and new projects for you too.
Yeah. And this project alone has led to new opportunities because I've actually been able to showcase my portfolio, the work I can do, which is a lot more kind of studio-based type looking with modelling, yeah.
Yeah, so again, it's opening, I suppose, new opportunities, new parameters for you. Wonderful. And again, let's turn to Jess. So Steel City NUA.
Yeah.
So you did the makeup for the shoot.
Yes.
And it looks great.
Thank you.
So were you under pressure on the day? Was it fast? Did you have to?
I did feel a bit under pressure, but I kind of feel like I work best under pressure. Yeah. If I've got a target to reach, I feel better. But I mean, everybody was kind of working together. Obviously, with Sammy, you've got the lighting to consider, which always affects the makeup. And obviously, we wanted the makeup to look as neutral as possible, obviously, to showcase Emma's jewellery in the best way possible. But you have, as a makeup artist, you do have to allow for certain things. So lighting can affect your makeup. So, for instance, if you've got SPF in your foundation, that can create flashback on your photos. So you have to consider all these different things.
So you've got to really, really focus on the end result, what you're aiming at. And I suppose what's going to look good in the studio at the shoot is not necessarily going to look good on the camera and in the final shoot.
So. Yeah, so you kind of always have to look at the photos as you're working. So obviously, someone maps that in front of me and I think they've got loads of makeup on, it's going to look fabulous. As soon as you take a picture of it, it could look awful. So you just have to keep looking through the camera to make sure it's looking on point. So.
Yeah, quite. And again, I'll ask the same question. The experience of doing this project, the teamwork, the collaboration, has that opened new doors for you?
Yes, it definitely has. I would say this is probably the biggest project I've worked on so far. Obviously, I'm not long since left college and I'm soon to be going to university to be studying it further. But this is the biggest project. I've met a lot of people that I would work with in the future and look forward to working with them again. So.
Brilliant. And was it always your dream to work for yourself then, Jessica?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah.
Well, we're talking with five folk who work for themselves. I'm going to ask similar questions of all of you because this is of great interest to our listeners to the show. Challenges you've faced, how you've overcome them, and so on. So Emma, let's turn back to you. Was it always your dream to A, work for yourself, and if so, was it your dream to do what you're doing now as your business?
I think I always thought I'd work for myself because my dad always did. And he really liked being his own boss, and he used to say, oh, it's great, you know, there's no one telling you what to do. I left school not really knowing what I wanted to do, but I've always loved jewellery. I've always made things, you know, even when I was very young, plastic bead things. So I think at the back of my mind, I always wanted to do that. And then I had a job which I just didn't enjoy, and that kind of pushed me forward to decide, yes, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it a go. And I opened a jewellery shop 15 years ago. And it kind of stemmed from there. So, and I wouldn't change it for the world. It's hard work, a lot of tears sometimes over different things, but no, I wouldn't do anything else.
Oh, I'm sure it's hard work, and I think we all know how much hard work goes into everyone's business. But as you say, people often say they wouldn't change it. They couldn't go back. And in terms of your products and your jewellery. In that 15 years since you opened a shop and now you're selling the jewellery, you're making jewellery, what have been the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome?
Probably online shopping becoming so, you know, prominent and so many people doing it. I mean, initially I had a bricks and mortar shop for 14 years.
Yes.
And I kind of shied away from the online thing just because I wasn't comfortable with it. But that was the way forward, so thanks to Johnny. He's kind of dragged me forward and helped me with social media, which is another massive change in the 15 years and a challenge. I mean, people are buying much more through social media and online, so I've had to embrace that.
Yes, quite. And then that brings with it a whole a huge amount of new skills that you need to either learn or have help with or both. So Johnny, you've obviously helped Emma in terms of move to online, online sales, e-commerce as well, social media, and getting the word out there. And you've given tips before on this show about social media, but and people can access the podcast, and I'll make sure that we flag it up again of those so they can hear those in great depth. But I suppose from the experience of working with Emma and Point925 and helping her move from physical shop to selling online and big online presence, what concrete things did you suggest, did you implement for Emma?
I think it all boils down to who are you? What are you about? What are your values? Because at the end of the day, the thing that resonates most with people is authenticity. So, you know, if you have a love of making jewellery and making beautiful things out of raw materials, or whether, you know, you're like Hugh and you want to make amazing videos that have an impact, make somebody feel something, or Sammy, you know, in a photography, which is incredible, or Jess, it's about creating something that represents your values and making sure your audience understands that. I'm not one of the kind of people in online marketing who just want to beat somebody over the head with a product until they buy it. It's more about finding the people who are akin to your values, you know, the people who think, actually, that's the kind of product that I'm really interested in. You know, I'm already there. I already want that. And making sure it's visible to those people. I think that's probably the most important thing, is the authenticity and communicating that in a simple way. You know, being concise and making sure your audience understands that. And making sure wherever you are online, whether it's your website, your social media, and anything that you do, that is consistent.
So consistency and authenticity, you can't fake authenticity. Mm. Big brands have tried to be authentic, be something they're not. Always falls flat. Yeah. But be who you are, and I suppose then the customers who like you will love you. And
Well, it's about that as well. It's finding the people who are going to be evangelical about what you do.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are going to shout out to everyone else, and they're going to say, "I love this product. I love this brand." You know, they represent something to me, and we all have brands like that where we just want to buy everything that they have just because there's something about it that we love. And I think it's about creating that within your brand as well, and saying, "Actually, you'll love this too."
Yes. Turning then again to Hugh, with the work that you're doing in terms of as a filmmaker creating lovely pieces like this, are you getting more and more work from businesses showcasing things, or what you know, where's the work coming from? What's changing for you?
My business really changed since arriving in Sheffield a year ago. It's really diverse. I know this is going to sound really bad, me saying that, but it was really diverse. Like, we work with charities, we work with small SMEs, we work with large corporations. We are just acquiring our third international contract now. So we've done a video for a German company, a Polish company, and now it's going to be a Danish company, which is pretty big for us. Yeah, it's a good mix. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I went into filmmaking, because not every day is the same.
Keeps life very interesting for
you. It does. One day I'm filming models, the next day I'm filming factory parts coming off a conveyor belt. Another time I'll be on an offshore rig filming drone footage. It's really interesting. It keeps you on your toes because you've got to learn new things. You've got to learn about how to deal with different types of people in different types of industries. And no project is the same. So.
And any tips then for winning work? I mean, you're clearly winning a diverse variety of work here. What is it then that's attracting a multinational and international business, a German company, to alongside a local charity or a social enterprise and an SME? What do you do that wins you the work?
Well, we keep referring to it as me, but there's a team of people, so I can't take credit. You know, there's a lot of guys that work with me. Who are very talented. I always say, though, that you're only as good as your last piece of work. So if it's a piece of rubbish, you know, that's what's going to be representative of you. And every project we take on, regardless of whether it's something for a really small charity or for a large multinational, it's always got the same passion, same focus, and the same dedication to make sure it looks like a great piece of art.
Lovely. And Sammy, again, you're working for yourself, you're spending time here in Sheffield and in Cambridge. Was that always your dream?
To work between the two places, that does kind of happen. Yeah. I've got family in Cambridge, yeah, and worked for a lot of my friends there, or worked with them, and word of mouth has spread there. I worked in media for years before I ended up doing a photography degree to make sure I really knew what I was going to do before I went into business with what I do now. I think I'd spent a long time doing things that weren't creative, and I realised I'm a creative person, and this is really what I wanted to do. And exactly what he said, I mean, that's my business too. Every day is different, and that keeps me on my toes. And it's that excitement that drives me. And I think if you're not excited about your business, it's never going to go where you want it to. And I think every day I get up and I look forward to what I'm going to do. And I'm making plans to do things that are exciting as well. So, yeah, I love it.
Superb. And in last week's show, in other words, the show broadcast on Friday, the 14th of August, I was talking we broadcast an interview with a young person, Susie Pierce. She'd got her A-levels last year, and she'd decided, before getting her A-level results, she got very good A-levels, but she decided that for her and for her career, it was going to be best not to go to university, but to try and get good quality work experience. And what she did was talk to lots and lots of people. This is a message which is coming through. It fits with what you've just said, Sammy. Talking with people, take advice as well. And it fits with the whole collaboration and teamwork that we're talking about today. And what Susie told us last week was also how she'd gone along to a couple of events. She went to ChefX. She went to the MAID Entrepreneurship Festival. She just talked to businesses there. She said they were really approachable, really friendly, and they're really pleased to hear from someone who, at the time she talked to them, was only 17 and was really, really interested in how to get ahead. Now, for all of you, you're obviously doing really well in your businesses, in your careers. I want to finish with a little bit of advice for people, which can be relating to something you know now which you wish you'd known when you started off, or the one key bit of advice that you think people should know about. You've already given some great advice, so you can repeat it if it is the most important thing, or if there's one other thing that you think people should know about, whatever career they're thinking of going into. But if they're thinking of sort of being in a position where they're running their own business or self-employed, what's going to help them, what, you know, based on your experience? And we'll go around with that. And then we'll also flag up each of your websites so that our listeners who are interested can find out more about what you do, the products, the services you offer, or simply get in touch with you. So, Johnny, you can go first. Bit of advice.
Okay. I guess some of the listeners already know my story, but if I can give one piece of advice, it's just belief. It is just belief in yourself. My beginnings weren't great, and it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you have nothing, if you don't have the education, if you don't have the money or the influence or anything. It just doesn't matter. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And I 100% prescribed to that. It's all down to self-belief, and that's what comes first. You have to just believe in yourself and work hard, but that has to come first. So whatever place you're in right now, whatever you're having to fight or find yourself in, no matter how bad that situation is, you can do it. You just have to believe.
So great advice there, Johnny. And people can find out more about Mantra Media.
Yeah, at www.mantrahq.com.
Superb. Lovely. Thank you, Johnny. Jessica, let's turn to you.
I would say the most important thing, advice-wise, is always be driven in what you want to do, and don't be afraid to listen to criticism from other people, because that's what helps you grow as a person and gain in your business.
Superb. So really, really listen and actually use that to help the business grow.
Definitely.
Excellent. Thanks, Jessica. And again, where can people find out more about Steel City MUA?
Find me on Facebook and at Steel City MUA, and also on Twitter at Steel City MUA.
Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
Sammy.
I guess I would probably reiterate what I said earlier, which was the fact that I spent like for the first 2 years of my business not quite working how I expected it to, not being feeling it was really hard. And then suddenly, about a year ago, there was a change, don't quite know what it was, but I suddenly became very excited about what I do, and I think that has led to a lot of success this year. And the fact that just makes you work harder, work later, but it's none of it's a chore. It's you know, a dream job.
Lovely. And Sammy, people can find out more about you?
Yeah, well, at sammyspark.com. Yeah, www.sammyspark.com.
Excellent. Hugh?
my advice for kids or anyone starting out is the two P's, patience and passion. I've been doing my business for about 5 years. 4.5 years later, I finally paid myself a proper wage. So you've got to be patient. Don't expect everything to happen the next day. It takes time. It takes experience. And it takes building up networks and contacts and building relationships with people. And the passion is just as important. Pick a career that you're passionate about, an idea you're passionate about, because when it's 6 o'clock in the morning and it's freezing outside and you need to get out of bed to go do what you do, it's only passion that's going to get you out of bed. It's not going to be anything else. So.
Great.
Patience and passion.
Patience, passion. Thanks, Hugh. And Let There Be Light Productions. People can find out more.
www.ltblproductions.com.
Lovely. And, of course, Emma, 0.925 jewellery. Any further advice for people?
Well, I agree with what Hugh said, passion. I mean, you're going to work long hours to really get your business established, so you need to be really enthusiastic and enjoy what you do and love it. And I think that comes across with your customers as well, you know, ultimately the people that you're providing a service to or a product to. You know, if you seem genuinely enthusiastic and enjoy and passionate about what you do, then they're going to feel... they're going to pick up on some of that and think, yeah, here's somebody that really does, you know, like what they do. They're probably going to give me a good service.
Yes, absolutely. Lovely. And, of course, 0.925, where can people find you?
www.0.925jewellery.co.uk.
And there you'll see range of jewellery.
Yes.
That you've made here in Sheffield, plus the film that we've all been talking about.
Yes, and lots of lovely pictures. I mean, that's why the collaboration's been so great for me, is that the jewellery now, it looks great on the models and it really showcases my product and everybody else's talent. It's been a great success.
Splendid. Well, my thanks once again then to Johnny of Mantra Media, to Jessica of Steel City MUA, to Hugh of Let There Be Light Productions, to Sammy of Sammy Spark Photography, and of course to Emma of 0.925 Jewellery. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. This is Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme. And we've been talking today about collaboration in business and social enterprise. And in that segment with Johnny, Emma, Sammy, Hugh and Jessica, we also heard about how Silversmith's Restaurant collaborated with them in their recent piece of work. So earlier this week, I caught up with Justin Rowntree of Silversmith's Restaurant to talk to him not only about collaboration, but also about his fundraising and awareness raising efforts for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which Justin's been doing. He's recently covered 400 miles of the 1,000 miles from Land's End to John O'Groats. He's done the Snowdonia Slateman Triathlon earlier this year, and he's working hard in terms of fundraising and awareness raising for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. We'll play the interview with Justin now.
Justin, welcome back to Sheffield Live. Thanks for joining me on the programme once again today. You've recently returned from a long journey from Land's End to John O'Groats.
I did. I actually did half of Land's End, John O'Groats. I have to say that, because some of the team, there's 20 of us, did it. We were raising funds and awareness for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I did the first 100 miles with my brother Kevin Rowntree and the last 300 miles in the Highlands of Scotland, which I hasten to add were the hardest 400 miles.
It sounds like they're the hardest, but you would say that, wouldn't you?
Of course I would. I missed out the middle bit, so of course I'd say that.
So are you feeling fresh or are the limbs aching?
Do you know what? Relatively fresh. I'd never done an endurance race like that where it was days back to back, and I had no idea how it was going to play out. Even in even training, myself and my brother hadn't done back to back days. But actually, we'd obviously trained appropriately because it was fine.
Yes, so the training, I suppose, round here in the hills of Sheffield and the Peak District prepared you well for those 300 miles in Scotland.
Yeah, they always say train hard, race easy. And without really realising it, that's what we did. We trained on all the hills around the Peak District and Derbyshire, which anyone who rides or runs know are, you know, some of the toughest and most relentless in the country. And we went chasing hills. We'd actively look for, you know, 50, 60, 70-mile rides that had hills in them. But when we came to Cornwall and the Highlands, actually, the elevation isn't anywhere near like we have here. So we'd definitely trained, and it made the riding enjoyable.
And the riding was enjoyable, but also, this is for a great cause. This is for Action Duchenne.
Yeah. And I mean, that was also, I have to say, a driving force in the when the rain was pouring down or the hills were steep. My brother Kevin, who did the ride with me, his son Kieran has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And for those who might not have come across it, and very much awareness of this condition is something that we're trying to raise. So Duchenne muscular dystrophy is found mainly in boys. Only 1% of those who have it are girls, as Duchenne is found in the X chromosome. So it is boys that have it. It's diagnosed usually when they're very young. Kieran was diagnosed at about 1.5. He's now 7 years old. And it's a progressive muscular weakness. It's life-limiting. 20-plus years old has been the average. But the great news is with research, and this is what Duchenne muscular dystrophy research is all about, actually that's stretching. So you're seeing young men into their 30s and then into their 40s. But currently there is no cure, and all the money that we're raising is about finding a cure and increasing, obviously, the condition of life and the value of life for those with it.
So the money that you've raised can go straight into that via Action Duchenne's work to seek a cure, and incredibly important.
It is incredibly important.
And I think quality of life as well.
It is, exactly. It's both of those things. It's research. It is looking for a cure.
Yeah.
I mean, we are these days finding cures for things that didn't have them 5, 10, 20 years ago. That is the case. But with anything which is a rare disease, and unfortunately this is the case, economics comes into it, that research companies, where there is a smaller audience that need the treatment, are going to do less research. And this is awful but true. So actually the research we're funding is significant and is creating waves and making a difference. I mean, the event we have done, there's 20-plus riders, and we are £15,000 off our £100,000 target.
So this is remarkable. You've raised £85,000 between you and your team of 20 riders.
Yeah, and that's significant. That will have an effect.
And so clearly that'll have a remarkable effect. If you get to the 100,000, it'll have a remarkable effect, the 85,000 you have raised. Mm. And as you say, you are getting close to your target, but people can still support you.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, since I've come back, I've had a big push through all my contacts, whether they're personal or business, and that has put hundreds and hundreds more pounds in. The other 20 riders are doing the same. So actually, it's completely achievable. And if people do want to contribute, it'd be amazing. And it's the Virgin Money Giving site. Just tap in Rowntree, like the chocolates, Rowntree, on the Virgin Money Giving site, and you'll find us straight away.
So Rowntree, like the chocolates, on the Virgin Money Giving site. Of course, this is also linked from the Silversmiths Facebook.
Yep.
You've posted on there.
Absolutely,
so anyone
right.
following you there can find it. And anyone who wants to learn more as well about this condition and about the work that Action Duchenne are doing in terms of seeking to find a cure, can look up actionduchenne.org.
Absolutely right. And I really encourage people to do that. As I say, awareness about this disease is what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, if you actually talk to your friends, I can pretty much guarantee somebody will know somebody who's actually got it. And it's amazing, actually, you know, how many people do have this, but it's still very, you know, it's a lesser known disease.
Well, thanks for telling us about your efforts and the connection as well here, Justin. I'm sure you'll reach the target.
Thank you.
I'm sure many of our listeners would like to support that too.
Thank you.
And whilst you're with us today, we've heard about silversmiths earlier in the programme today as well, in the interview that we've done with Johnny Pawlik, with Hugh Mann Adamson, with Emma from Point 925 Jewellery. We heard about a collaboration filmed and photography shot here in Silversmiths. Mm-hmm. So you were part of that collaboration. Collaboration is something that obviously businesses...
Yes.
All benefit.
Absolutely. And you know what, Jamie, this is something that literally every day I'm speaking to people. I had a meeting yesterday with James from Opus Publishing, who do some amazing things with Now Then magazine, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are aware of. The Now Then app, which is fantastic, which is all linking lots of local businesses in Sheffield, and again, collaborating. And the air in Sheffield at the moment, and I really hope your listeners kind of resonate with this, I think in the last 2 years, really, Sheffield, which is known for its artisan producers, known for people that are creative, but it's also known, and people will know what I'm saying when I say this, it's known for having great ideas that fall flat. But in the last 2 years, I've seen that completely change. I've seen people collaborating with great ideas, with great energy, which are now turning into reality. They're now turning into business ideas. They're now turning into things like the 0.925, things like Sheffield Soup.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Sheffield Soup is another great example. Because
incredible example.
Real-time, community, crowdfunding meets Dragons-style pitching.
Absolutely.
Getting everyone together, real buzz, real excitement, and then people choosing and funding a great idea.
Yeah, and all-inclusive ideas, grassroots ideas. It's not kind of highfalutin, high technology. It is real grassroots ideas that are giving a chance to breathe. And again, it is collaboration that is allowing this to happen. And one of the great things with Sheffield Soup that we're looking to really make sure happens is those people in the audience, those people around, can help. Again, like Dragon's Den, fertilise and develop and nurture those ideas in a mentor-type way. For no financial gain, but for the gain of our community.
Absolutely.
And that is something that I'm seeing in Sheffield. I mean, I've been at this premises now, Runaway Girl and Silversmiths, for 10 years, which is shocking when I say it, 10 years. And what I've seen happen as an independent business owner, as someone who started out on their own, as a totally as a sole trader, I've seen things change dramatically, and I say especially in the last 2 years, and I do beg everybody to kind of get on that, get that energy, get on that bandwagon, collaborate. If you've got ideas, there are people that will help you do it, there are people that want you to do it, and there are people that want to work with you. I absolutely promise you. So please go with that energy, and let's keep making Sheffield and move forward in that respect.
Let's do that indeed. That's a really good point, Justin. And of course the next Sheffield Soup is on the 23rd of September, so details on the Sheffield Soup website, and we've covered Sheffield Soup with interviews with Penny Raven on the show before. They're up on my website. If listeners want to hear what is Sheffield Soup, more about that interview with Penny as well.
Yep.
You've been involved, Justin, heavily in this as well.
Well, the soup is
Silversmith soup. so plenty there, and go along to the next Sheffield Soup, of
Definitely.
Course. On the collaboration front, at the Sheffield food scene, independents like Silversmiths are very collaborative with lots of other independent businesses.
Absolutely.
And that's making the whole scene stronger, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. I mean, the most recent example with me is here on Arundel Street, which is now a burgeoning area for independent businesses. There's a record shop, there's two or three restaurants, there's cafes, there's fantastic Tampa Cafe down the road. But Tampa is one that I do a lot of crossover business with, passing business each way. I've just had a conversation this morning with Mary Street, the art space on 99 Mary Street, and we're going to be doing a second collaboration with them, providing food for them. But then that feeds back into us promoting them through our website. And it is this co-promotion and collaboration that honestly is allowing small businesses to act like big businesses and to have a voice and a power that they didn't have a year or two ago.
Superb. Well, really great to hear of these examples actually in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And just before we go, let's just remind our listeners they can find out more about Duchenne, about Muscular Duchenne, at actionduchenne.org. And that's worth taking a look at to raise awareness of the condition. But it can sponsor you, Justin, by finding you.
Yeah, it's the Virgin Money Giving site, just tapping Roundtree, like the chocolates.
Superb, great. Of course, Silversmiths,
people will know silversmiths. You can find out.
I hope so.
Find out your Christmas menu has just been published.
It has. It's live, and we've got a brand new website which is launching in about 4 weeks' time, which again is being made with a collaboration with some real amazing young guns in Sheffield. So look out for that in about a month's time. The brand new website.
Good stuff. Eat Sheffield Awards, currently open for voting. Yep. Always worth reminding listeners
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. Apparently, we're being told it's close. We're going to go for another win. Our customers are always loyal and supportive, so cast a vote for Silversmiths if you can.
And the next Sheffield Soup, 23rd of September. Yep. Lovely. Fantastic. Justin Rowntree, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Beach. Broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. Today's show has been about collaboration. You've just heard from Justin Rowntree of Silversmiths talking about fundraising for Action Duchenne, talking about Sheffield Soup.
Earlier on today, we've heard from Johnny of Mantra Media, Emma of .925 Jewellery, Sammy of Sammy Spark Photography, Hugh of LTBL Productions, Jessica of Steel City MUA. And we've also heard about the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network with interviews with Laura and with Sarah from Opus Independence, Messers Works and Peace in the Park. But if you've missed all that, don't panic, because the podcast will be available on the Sheffield Live website later on today, and also on my website, jamieveach.co.uk. You can find the podcast there. And we'll be back next Friday, so tune in then. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk. So please stay tuned to that. Thanks for listening today. Thanks also to Sangeeta, who's been in the studio with me as sound engineer. And thank you. We're going to play out now with a quick track of music. Neil McSweeney, London Road.